We are going to go to the St. John chapter 8, and we read from verses 1 to 11. Please read.
Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them.
Okay, now here he says, Jesus went unto the mountain of Olives. And then he says, and early in the morning, he came again into the temple. From that, I understood that he was teaching them whole night. And then early in the morning, he went to the Mount Olive for prayer. Sometime he goes alone. Sometime he takes his disciples. But from this we learn that he went to the Mount of Olives, stayed whole night praying and having fellowship with the Father. And early in the morning, he comes back to the temple. Doesn't say he went and ate the breakfast or whatever, but early in the morning, he comes to the temple again. That means he was in the temple and he's coming back to the temple again. Now, only Jesus knows what's going to happen in this temple. Why did he come back to this temple again? He was already there. He would have gone somewhere else. But he came back, and the word of God says he sat down and start teaching them the Bible or the Word of God. Whatever the message he had, he was teaching them. Let's read the verse 3.
And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst.
Now here is saying scribe. Scribes are lawyers and Pharisees. Those people always trying to find some fault in Christ, because they were thinking they are the lawyers, they know the Moses law, they know Moses law, and Pharisees also, they know the Bible very well. And so now they are trying to find some fault in Jesus Christ, how he interprets the law. So they got some woman, and they're saying she was having some kind of act in adultery, and they caught her, and they bought her, and put her in the midst. That means Jesus Christ was sitting in front of him, they might have put her, and all around, all other people stood. And they did not come empty-handed. Each and every person bought the stone with them. And they had the idea that Moses said, if somebody is doing adultery, they should be stoned to death. So they prepared and they came with the stones and surround that lady. The lady is in the midst. Jesus Christ is in the midst of them. And they're surrounding him with all the stones and ready to hit her. So now they're asking him and telling him what the Moses said and what he's going to say. Verse 4.
They say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act.
Now they're telling Jesus Christ, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. They are thinking that we have the proof that this lady was in the adultery. But they did not bring the man. If there is a judge sitting there and say, you are telling us or you are telling me this lady was caught in the adultery, where is the man? Or you are just bringing the lady to argue with me. So they're supposed to bring man and woman to the court. But they did not do this, and Jesus did not say anything that they did something wrong. Let's read the verse 5.
Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou?
Now Moses' law said to us, this kind of person should be stoned to death. But what you say? What is your opinion? At that time, Jesus did not say, you're telling me what your law says. Are you doing according to the law? Let's read the Deuteronomy chapter 22. Deuteronomy chapter 22, starting from verse 22 to 24.
If a man be found lying with a woman married to an husband, then they shall both of them die, both the man that lay with the woman and the woman. So shalt thou put away evil from Israel. If a damsel that is a virgin be betrothed unto a husband, and a man find her in the city and lie with her, then he shall bring them both out unto the gate of that city, and he shall stone them with stones that they die, the damsel because she cried not, being in the city, and the man because he hath humbled his neighbor's wife, so thou shalt put away evil from among you.
Moses is telling them what the law is. They're saying if anybody did adultery with somebody, both of them are guilty. And he says even the one person got one girl, she is already arranged to marry with somebody, but he is coming and raping her, and that lady supposed to cry or make a noise, she didn't do anything. So that girl also is guilty. So both of them should be bought, and then they should be stoned to death, both people. These people bought only one person. So Jesus didn't say anything because they are wrong and they are not doing according to the law. Let's read another verse, Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 10.
And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death.
Now here it says both should be put to death. Now these people are lawyers and Pharisees. They know the law. But they broke the law, and they are coming and asking Jesus, Moses told us to stone this lady to death. But Moses did not give this commandment. Commandment was given that both people are guilty, and both people should be put to death. But Jesus Christ didn't say anything. Let's read verse 6.
This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not.
Now Jesus knew their thoughts, that they are tempting him, testing him, and trying to find a fault. Even though Jesus would have said these scriptures, they will be still angry, and they are already stoned, and they are already trying to find some fault in Christ so they can kill him. But here Jesus didn't say a word. He kept silent. And he started writing on the ground with his finger. Now many people have many theories, many priests, many preachers. They think maybe Jesus Christ was writing their names. Maybe Jesus Christ was writing their sins. Maybe Jesus Christ was writing some commandments. And many theories people, they have. But here, we don't know what he was writing. He was just minding his business, and these people keep on shouting and telling and asking Jesus, tell us, what should we do? And he did not answer them. I don't know how long he was doing this, but they start bugging him again. Verse 7.
So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her.
Means continuously start bugging him, bothering him. Jesus Christ was sitting down, bending down, and writing. Now, we don't know what he was writing, but I was reading the book of Isaiah, chapter 8, and please read verses 14 and 15, book of Isaiah, chapter 8.
And he shall be a shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken.
Just think that he was writing on the ground. Book of Isaiah is a very interesting chapter, but we don't have time to read. These lawyers and Pharisees, they know the Bible. As soon as he writes verse 14 and 15, they know he's talking about him. And they know these people are stumbling. They know these people are going after him, but they are in fault. And read in the same chapter, Isaiah chapter 8, verses 21 and 22.
And they shall pass through it, hardly bestead and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward.
Now he says, when these people are hungry, thirsty, having problem, they're going to find fault in king and God. They are not going to find their faults. They are not going to repent of their sins, but they are going to accuse God and looking up. That means they are not looking up for help or ask or prayer. They are looking up to show their fist towards God. And many people today, they are doing this. They are in their sin. They get into trouble. They get into problem. Prayer is not answered. So they look at heaven and try to fight with God. And he says, those people will do these things when they are angry and hungry and thirsty. But read the verse 22.
And they shall look unto the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness.
Now here he says, and they shall look unto the earth or ground and behold trouble and darkness and dimness and anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. I don't think any time the Israeli people were looking at the ground and this thing happened to them. But I think this was the appropriate time. When Jesus Christ is trying to write on the ground, you are the one, do not understand my coming. I am the one, that cornerstone, but you do not understand. If you fall on that stone, you will be getting hurt. But if the stone falls on you, you will be grounded. So you are not confessing your sins, and you are looking at somebody's sins, and you are trying to find fault in me. So he says, he starts writing on the ground, so they start looking at the ground. Maybe they look at the ground and start seeing the trouble, the darkness, and they got so much anguish, and they're driven by darkness. All their sin start coming to them as a film, from oldest to the youngest. They were all standing there gazing at that girl or lady and looking at what Jesus Christ is giving us an example or the proof or answer. Here Jesus Christ is not saying anything. He's just writing on the ground. And some of them might be read it or some of them didn't, but the lawyers and the Pharisees, they knew the Bible. Now they are looking at the ground like a picture, looking at like a TV screen, and all the sins are coming into their mind, looking at the film. When Jesus Christ says, okay, you got this lady, you said she is guilty, you said I should be giving you order to stone her to death because Moses said so. You did not do the right thing. You did not bring the man. Both people should be put to death. But you found what, lady? Now I ask you a question. If any one of you standing here making this lady guilty, and you are not guilty of anything, you never committed sin from your youth until today. You are so innocent. You never committed sin. If your heart doesn't condemn you that you are a sinner, cast the first stone. And he stooped down and started writing again. What happened? All those people, as he wrote on the ground, the darkness fell on them. They start looking at their sins. And one by one, everyone went home. Let's read. Go back to the St. John chapter 8, starting from verse 8.
And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, the eldest even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst.
When Jesus Christ told them, cast the first stone if you are innocent, and their sin start coming to them, and they convinced in their mind, and they were convicted that they are sinners. And from the elders to the last one. Why say elder? Elder means the older person. If that person committed many sins in his life. So when he start thinking, from my teenagers to until now, I did all kinds of things. And I am thinking, this lady is a sinner, and I'm not. But Jesus Christ pointed out, you all sin. Sin against God. Sin against King. Sin against me. And then you are trying to stone me. But what the word of God is saying, you are doing everything wrong. And they all, one by one, went. Even the last one, means there was no one left. But the woman standing in the midst and Jesus Christ. So they're all gone. And so Jesus Christ stood again, looking around, and nobody there, but just the woman standing there. Let's read the word 10.
When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Women, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?
So Jesus Christ asked her a question. Woman, where are those people who accuse you and they did not condemn you? Where are those people? Because Jesus Christ was bending down and writing, but the lady was looking at the people. Now people, one by one, they left. Jesus Christ is still looking down. Now this lady had a good chance. Just run away. Nobody's going to kill her. But she didn't go. When Jesus Christ says, where are those people? What she said? Let's read the verse 11.
She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more.
Now what she said? She said, no man, Lord. The this lady realize, recognize, understand that this man is not ordinary man. She's talking about Jesus. He is the Lord. He is God. He is innocent. He is a holy man of God. He has the authority to stone me. According to what she said, if anyone standing here, and if you never committed sin, then cast the first stone. Jesus is the only one qualified to stone her. And according to the Moses law, if he would have stoned her, he would not be guilty. But what the Bible says, when you read 10 John chapter 3, verse 17, he said, God did not send his son to condemn the world, but through him, the whole world might get saved. And this is a good example. Jesus did not condemn her. Other people condemned her, but Jesus did not condemn her. So somebody would say, is Jesus promoting sin? This lady is sinner. She caught in adultery. Everybody says we know what she has done. And Jesus Christ is saying, no man made you guilty. No man accused you. Where are those accusers? So Jesus Christ saying, if they did not accuse you, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now, Jesus Christ told this lady, they did not condemn you. I'm not condemning you. So go and sin no more. Now just think, this lady just walked away, thanking God. She did not say anything to Jesus Christ. Only she said, nobody condemned me. When Jesus Christ says, go away and sin no more, I believe that lady went away. But at the same time, I believe that lady did not commit adultery again. If Jesus Christ forgives your sin, you will be grateful. And you will be not going back to the sinful life. There are some people do, and those people are called backslidden. But the person who has the experience with Jesus Christ, their sins are forgiven, their sickness and disease is gone, and they recognize Jesus Christ is the Savior, He's the healer, He's my God, they will never go and looking for another God. So they will be always be thankful. Now we don't know what happened to this lady, but I found one lady in a book of Luke chapter 7. Maybe this lady or some other lady, but I thought this might be the lady because the name is not given. John chapter 8, name is not given. Luke chapter 7, the name is not given. Let's go and read the story. Luke chapter 7, starting from verse 36 to 39.
And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner.
Okay. Now here is the story. Jesus Christ was invited in Pharisee's house. Jesus knows this Pharisee will invite him, and they will always criticize him. But he always went, anyone invite Jesus Christ. Now he went to his house and see the situation. Now this is the dinner party. I don't know if it's a daytime or evening time. And he might have invited other Pharisees also. And so when Jesus Christ was invited, and these Pharisees, some of them are very rich. They may have a beautiful bungalow. They may have servants. They may have gatekeepers and everything. Now here comes Jesus Christ. And there is a one lady following him. Jesus did not look back, didn't know who is following. But Jesus Christ comes and sits on the chair or some kind of sofa. We don't know. We don't know what kind of situation was. And this lady followed Jesus Christ and sat behind him and touching his feet. And what she did, now this lady, when she's coming, just picture in your mind, if she's coming as a prostitute dress, the gatekeeper will not allow her to come in. If she comes with a raggedy clothes, dirty hair, and dirty smelling, they will not allow her to come in. But I believe this lady came like a dignifying lady. She might have beautiful clothes. She might have the beautiful hair washed and clean, very good hair, did a shower and everything. So this lady looked clean and looked healthy, looked beautiful, and she comes. Somebody might have thought, oh, she might be somebody's wife, or she might be invited in this party. So she came and sat behind Jesus Christ and start weeping. And her hair were nice and clean. Otherwise, she will be washing with his hair with the dirty hair. It will be more bad. But she had beautiful hair, long hair. So she start crying, weeping. She was not making a lot of noise, just sobbing and just weeping and washing Jesus' feet with her hair. And not only that, she was kissing him, continuously kissing his feet, washing his feet, wiping his feet. Not only that, what she did, she had the anointing oil. That anointing oil or anointment, the perfume, is a very costly perfume. Now we have the story in the Bible. One lady put the perfume on his head. But this is not the same lady. Some people make mistakes. Jesus Christ says in this chapter, you'll see, she anointed my feet. Jesus didn't say she anointed my head. This lady was humble. I believe that's the same prostitute. Jesus Christ says, go and sin no more. Now she is not sinning. She might be having her job or some kind of income. She got beautiful dress, beautiful perfume. It costs money, so she spent the money. And now she is coming and weeping and crying. What she was doing? She was thankful to Jesus Christ, showing him the love that he forgave her. And she wanted to tell him, thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for loving me. And she is loving him, kissing him, and wiping his feet. She never looked at his eyes. She never looked at any other person. She was not looking for some kind of physical gain. She was just minding her business. And here the Pharisees saying, if this man was a prophet, don't you think this man should know who is touching him? And this lady is a sinner? How did they come to know? Because they think they are the holiest one. and everybody is a sinner. They never saw this lady, and even though they saw her when she was caught in the prostitute, she will not look the same. She might be not showing her face. She might be dressed beautifully, clean, and very dignified, but she is sitting behind the Jesus Christ. That means if he's sitting on the chair, she sat behind, and his feet is down, and on those days, they walk on the dusty road. So she washed his feet with her own tears and wiped it out with her beautiful hair and anointed his feet with a beautiful perfume and start kissing his feet. So now this is the story. Now these Pharisees, thinking in their hearts, if this man I invited, Jesus Christ, if this man was a prophet, he would know this lady is a sinner. See what Jesus Christ said to these Pharisees, verse 40.
And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on.
Now, Jesus Christ understood what this man was saying. He did not say to Jesus, he just said to himself in his heart, if Jesus Christ is a prophet, he should know this lady is a sinner. So he is doubting. I don't think he is a prophet. So Jesus said, Simon, can I tell you something? So he said, okay, go ahead. So Jesus Christ is telling him one fact, whatever happened. Verse 41.
There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged.
He says, Simon, let me tell you. There was a one man, and he had two customers, and they bought something or borrowed money or whatever. One had, I'm giving an example, maybe he had $5,000 debt, and somebody had maybe $5. So one has more and one has less. So he said he forgiven both of them. So which one will love the master more? And he said, the more is forgiven, the more that person will love. So he said, you said very rightly. You know the answer. What Jesus Christ was telling him, he's saying, if this lady you think is sinner, and her sins are so many, and her sins are forgiven, so she is loving me more. They bought her to stone to death. She was a great sinner. Now she is transformed. She is not committing sin, but she is thankful. She wants to tell Jesus that thank you for forgiving my sin. So he gave an example. So now he's explaining him more. What you called me and you did not do certain things which this lady did. And he says, compare. Let's read verse 44.
44 to 47, okay.
Okay.
And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is given, the same loveth little.
Now he tells this Pharisee, how you are hypocrite. I came into your house, you did not give me water to wash my feet. But now see, this lady washed my feet with her tears. I came to your house, you supposed to greet me with a kiss, but you did not give me a kiss. But this lady, since I came in, she is kissing my feet. When I came to your house, you should anoint my head with oil, but you didn't do it. This lady anoint my feet with a perfume. So what he is trying to say, this lady you think is a great sinner, but her sins are forgiven. When her sins were forgiven, the day they bought her, and they said, we are going to stone her, that's the time Jesus said, go sin no more. Her sins were forgiven. So that's why he said, she loved me much more, and so you are loving me little. So the man kept quiet. So Jesus looked at the lady first time, and he told her, what you have done for me, this man didn't do it. This man called me for the dinner, but he had something in his mind, finding some fault, and just think the God sent this lady on due time to find out what is in the Pharisees' heart, how they treat others, looking at somebody's dress, looking at somebody's act. They try to find out she's a sinner. And Jesus doesn't know that sinner is touching him. Jesus knows. Jesus knew this lady was a sinner. Her sins are forgiven. She is thankful. She is coming and showing her love and showing that she is so grateful to Jesus Christ. So what Jesus Christ is saying to this lady, verse 48.
And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace.
See now what he said to the lady. He said, you know what? The day I told you, go and sin no more, that's the time your sin was forgiven. But now you came back and you showed your love and showed your gratefulness. Your sins are already forgiven. And thy faith had saved you. Go in peace. That means he said, you have great faith. You came back to show me your love. Show me thankfulness. Now remember, your sins are forgiven, and you have great faith, and your faith has saved your life. Now he said, go in peace. First time he said, go and sin no more. This time he didn't say, go and sin no more. This time he says, go in peace. Sometime God forgives your sin, and you still do not know that your sins are forgiven. There is a one lady came to church. She said, Pastor Peter, I ask forgiveness for my sin, but that sin keep on coming in my memory, and I feel so guilty. And I pray again, and I feel guilty again. What the Bible says, the devil is the accuser of the brethren. When you come to Jesus Christ, when you ask forgiveness of your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgotten. There is no record of your sins, and you are a new creation. That's the way Bible teaches. But some people are still carry their guilt. And sometimes people say you have to forgive yourself sometime. That means when Jesus Christ has forgiven you, You should be thankful. This lady was living in guilt. Jesus said, go and sin no more. Now she is not committing sin, but she wants to come to Jesus Christ and a gratefulness to Jesus Christ. Now Jesus Christ says, now your sins are forgiven and you have faith. You came by faith and your faith has saved you. Now go in peace. That means now don't worry about sin anymore. Your sins are forgiven and forgotten, and you go in peace. Now, I believe this lady, same lady who was caught in the adultery, many people will not be agree, but then they have to find out who is this lady, and they are comparing this lady with the Mary Magdalene or Mary who anointed Jesus. So that's wrong, because they anointed his head, she anointed his feet. And Jesus Christ said to her, thy sins are forgiven, and your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So I believe that's the lady who was prostitute. But now she's not doing prostitute business. She has some kind of income. We don't know she got married or what. We don't know she got her business or what. But she has the money to buy perfume. From that we know she has money to buy beautiful clothes. She has money to buy good soap and good shampoo. And she has completely cleaned up herself and came with a dignified woman. But she was not ugly looking or bad person anymore. So I believe this lady became secret disciple of Jesus Christ and start helping him with the finances. How do you know? Let's read the Luke chapter 8 and start reading from verse 2 and 3.
And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance.
Now see what he's saying? Certain women. Now, many ladies were helping Jesus Christ with the finances, with the food, with the clothing, with soap and oil and all these things, and many others. Their name is not given. Many others. So I believe in many others, this lady also be joined with those other lady which minister unto him, unto Jesus, and help Jesus' ministry with their substance. Substance means things. So this lady is not one or two, maybe hundreds of ladies. Why I'm saying this? Because it says many people who got healed were demon possessed, and some of the ladies were rich, and Herod's king's family, and some other ladies, they were coming and helping Jesus with the money, with the food, with the clothes, maybe somebody bringing soap, somebody bringing some kind of oil, because Jesus Christ had 82 disciples. To taking care of 82 disciples is not easy, because when Jesus Christ called them, he said, forsake all and follow me. So they forsook everything and they follow Christ. So now they have to have clothes. They have to have washed their clothes. They should have food and drink, oil, soap, and all kinds of things they need. Where are they going to find it? But here the word of God says, all these ladies were following Jesus Christ and helping him with the finances and the substance, things. So I believe this lady, when Jesus Christ said, your faith have saved you, go in peace. So she didn't go and disappear. She followed Christ. And she helped Jesus Christ with the finances. Because the Bible says there was a man, one of the disciples, his name is Judah. He had the box. That means when somebody gives the money, Judah was a treasurer, and they will put the money in the box. So these disciples of Jesus Christ, they had everything. They had food, they had clothing, they had everything, and nothing was lacking. And they had extra money in the bank, like a storage. So if somebody says Jesus Christ and his disciples were struggling, they were not. They had enough. Hundreds of ladies, thankful to God, what God has done for them, so they would come and help Jesus Christ. Today also, if you go and see in the churches, majority are ladies. And majority ladies are coming to church, and the ladies are always kind, always giving, always sharing. Many ladies who are born again Christian, they have burden for souls. So even though they don't go to preach, some of the ladies are doing it. But some ladies will help with the finances. When we had the need, I should not be saying, but I'm just telling, my daughter and my wife, they give more than 10% to help the ministry. So there are so many church members, we don't have to tell them, please give your tithe. You did not give 1 month or 2 months. Please give us, we have need. We never ask. But God inspires them. And they are giving their tithes and offerings. And whoever giving, they are blessed. So here we see, Jesus Christ healed some ladies. Jesus Christ did signs and wonders for these people. And those people were thankful, coming and kissing his feet, coming and washing his feet with the tears, coming and anointing his feet with the oil. I mean, Jesus Christ said, go in peace. This lady says, I'm not going anywhere. I am going to serve Jesus. And so what the message is for us, we are sinners. We did all kinds of evil things. But when we came to Jesus Christ, he has forgiven us. Please don't forget what Jesus Christ has done. When Jesus Christ heals you, you are not thankful. If other sickness and disease comes, first thing what he did, you completely forget what the Bible says. When you come to Jesus Christ, when you come to prayer, first thanksgiving, come with the thanksgiving, what Jesus Christ has done. Tell Jesus, Lord, you healed my headache. You healed my stomachache. You healed my disease. Now please, touch me and heal me. I have another problem. I believe that you did it before, and you can do it again. And that's the person's prayer will be heard. But if somebody keep on saying, Lord Jesus, I'm hurting so much. Why don't you heal me? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? You have to be humble. We have to be thankful what Jesus Christ has already done. He has saved us. We would have gone to hell for eternity. We should be thankful that God has saved us. He has healed us time and time again. Many people forgetting. Don't forget what God has done. Be thankful. Be grateful. Just like this lady. I'm not saying people should go and wash other people's feet. Even though Jesus did it and said to the disciples, go and do the likewise. And many people, they have feet washing service once a year. And what they do, they don't even do properly. And they just do it for the name's sake. Just put a little water and towel and wipe it off. And some people are afraid if their toes are crooked, if they have some problem, they don't want to even show their feet. And so the feet washing becomes like some kind of a joke. So you don't have to go and wash their feet, even though you wash somebody's feet and kick them next time, or say, I washed your feet. Your feet were so dirty, smelly. Do you take a bath sometime? Why don't you wash your feet? That washing will be useless. So even though he says, go and do likewise, we have to go and help other way. You don't have to just go and wash feet because Jesus Christ said it. We have to do more than feet washing. You have to be thankful what God has done and then tell others to do the same. Jesus Christ is a healer. He's a savior. He's a loving God. He doesn't condemn you. He just said, I didn't come to condemn you. I came to save you. And this is a message for us. Are we going and telling somebody what Jesus Christ has done for us? Look at this lady's courage. She's going in a Pharisee's house. She was not invited. She knew those people will criticize. Those people might be push her out or tell her to get out. But she wanted to go and show Jesus that she loves him and she is grateful. When Jesus Christ has saved you, healed you, why don't you go and tell somebody? You don't have to go to other countries. Tell your friends. Tell your neighbors. Tell somebody you meet. Say, Jesus Christ healed me. Incurable disease. I didn't have the money. Jesus healed me. So somebody's faith can be encouraged. So let's pray and ask God to give us that kind of courage. If there is someone listening for the first time and came to know Jesus Christ forgiven that lady who was caught in the act of adultery, Jesus Christ said, I'm not condemning you. Go and sin no more. We have committed many sins. When we came to Jesus Christ, he has forgiven all our sins and he washed us with his precious blood. When you stand before God and God sees you through the blood of Jesus Christ, he says, you are righteous. You did not commit any sin. I don't see any sin in you. Have it happen because of blood of Jesus Christ. But many people do not understand this thing. Many people, they are thinking they are believers. And when they pray, they say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Or tell somebody, I'm a sinner. And many people say, we will be never be perfected until we go to heaven. They got wrong. You cannot go to heaven unperfected. You cannot go to heaven as a sinner. Jesus Christ already washed our sins with his precious blood. We have to say boldly, I was a sinner. Jesus Christ saved me. Now I'm not a sinner. I am a child of God. Jesus Christ washed me with his precious blood, and I should be thankful. Devil will tell you always. He will condemn you always. He will tell you you're guilty. You are not worthy to pray. You are not worthy to worship. You are a sinner. You don't go to church today because you said something to your wife or your son or somebody. You are guilty. You should not be reading Bible. You should not be praying. Tell that devil. Devil is a liar. My Jesus Christ is my mediator. My Jesus Christ is my lawyer. He will plead the case as I come to Jesus Christ. When you come to Jesus Christ, don't hide your sin. He is your lawyer. When the lawyer plead your case, he should know everything true. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, if you confess your sin, then our God is faithful. He will forgive all your sins and all your unrighteousness, and he will cleanse you and thoroughly make you perfect. So what the Word of God is saying, if your heart is condemning you, Jesus Christ is greater than your heart. Come to Christ, ask forgiveness, and He will wash away your sins. Look at this lady, she came back to Jesus. Her heart was condemning. But now Jesus says, you're forgiven. You have faith. You believed me. Go in peace. You are not guilty anymore. Jesus Christ is there to forgive all our sins. If you heard the first time that Jesus Christ shall forgive my sin, please pray this prayer. Say, Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Wash me with your precious blood. Touch me, Lord, and heal me. Give me grace to live for you. And let me be grateful to show my love to you and help you in your ministry. Please give me grace to follow you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you pray this prayer, your sins are forgiven. There is no record of your sins. And God says, now you are not guilty, but you are a child of God. You are a new creation. And now what you do, you go to church, read the Bible, pray. Now some places there is no church open, but sit at the feet of Jesus Christ and pray. I believe God will give you more grace and tell you what to do. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to study your word. All sinners, when they come to you, you do not condemn them, but you forgive them. So, Lord Jesus, we are so thankful that you have forgiven our sins. You have given us grace to love Jesus Christ. But if there is anything which is not pleasing in your sight, please forgive all our sins, wash us, make us clean, so we can serve you more. There are people dying without God and without Christ. So give us grace. Tell the whole world what Jesus Christ has done. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us grace. We commit our souls, our bodies, our spirits into your loving hands. In Jesus' name you pray. Amen.
Call it done.
Amen.